Voices.Earth podcast series is brought to you by the .Earth domain. In each episode, we shine a light on organizations and individuals who are part of the growing .Earth tribe, as well as those outside of our tribe who are all making our planet a better place. In this Voices.Earth podcast interview, we're speaking with Amir Farhan, CEO of SOAR, which is an organization that is creating the world's first fully democratized global super map using drone content. And Amir, how are you doing today?
Good day, mate. How are you going? I'm doing very, very well. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Yeah, thank you for joining us. You guys have such a very cool organization. I'm really excited to talk with you about this further today. And along those lines, tell us about SOAR. Tell us about your company's mission, history, all that good stuff.
Well, look, I guess I'd like to start with a definition of what SOAR is. With SOAR, we're effectively trying to build a super map of the world using blockchain technology. So I guess as a overarching definition, we like to say it's a decentralized blockchain platform for the future of all maps and imagery. So we see that as not a competitor to any existing forms of mapping, such as, you know, Google Maps or, you know, even what big companies such as Esri or Hexagon are building. But we see that as just simply the next evolution of mapping technology, particularly when it comes to imagery going into, you know, the next sort of 20 years of geospatial. I guess the concept for SOAR really, I guess the interesting part about it is that it came about as a requirement for some of the products that we were building for some of our clients. These clients have got varying backgrounds of, you know, everything from mining, oil and gas, because we're a Western Australian company. So there's a lot of focus on natural resources, but all the way to security and defense. So we looked at, you know, what does the mining companies and the oil and gas companies want? They've got a lot of data. What does the military and defense customers want? They've got a lot of data. And then all of a sudden we started realizing, okay, now we worked out these extremely complex, you know, solving these extreme complex problems for these kind of clients. But then we realized as a fallout of this technology, particularly when it came to blockchain technology, we realized, wait a minute, in a civilian slash consumer context, this could really be a game changer. So we just started to take that and elevate it to the next level. And what we found was, it's quite amazing because we found that in the world of blockchain, everything is completely open sourced. So there was a lot of community, if you like, in the blockchain world when it comes to mapping technology. And we sort of built on that and taking that experience, we thought to ourselves, wait a minute, we could really build the next phase of what great mapping systems are all about, you know, built on the premise of openness and decentralization. And that's effectively where SOAR started.
That's great. That's really good stuff there, Amir. And let's talk a little bit more about blockchain. I mean, certainly it's a buzzword you're hearing this day. You're seeing it kind of move over into the geospatial arena, much like yourself. But I guess for the benefit of our listeners here who might not be geospatial technicians, tell them about blockchain and how it actually works with your solution.
Well, look, I think there's different things that ways you can describe what blockchain technology is. I mean, you've got to the purists, but then there's the normal regular, you know, Joe on the street, right? It's effectively a digital ledger, right? Another way to describe it is a decentralized database. We had actually one of our investors at a at a bar try to describe what blockchain was, okay, to another hopeful potential investor. This was about a couple of months ago, and it was really interesting the way he articulated it. He basically said, imagine it's like Google Drive, and we were all working on the exact same Google Drive document together at the exact same time, except I can go back in time and I can actually see what you've added, and you can go back in time and see what we've added, and the output is basically a collective. So it's fully trackable. And he was explaining this and he came up with this himself, and he's actually not too far off. So you look at data and inputs and where it's coming from, particularly from a mapping point of view, we're moving on to a next phase. I mean, sometimes people call it beyond GPS. That's been a bit of a buzzword. I don't know if people have heard that term, at least in the crypto world, we've heard that a lot. But beyond mapping as well, you know, mapping has gone from, you know, in the last 10 years, Google Maps is just, I mean, Google Maps is obviously older than that, but in the last 10 years, especially, it's gone on to another level in itself. So people are using it for so many different things. In fact, a couple of weeks ago, someone came out and they said they found, or they thought they found, the missing Malaysian MH370 plane using Google Maps. Now, we look at that and us in the industry have a bit of a giggle and a bit of a laugh, because what actually happens there, we know that that's not possible, because Google, it's a static map. It doesn't change. You can't search, you know, catalogs of data And when I say data, I don't just mean images. I'm talking about collective data that sits within the image itself, such as a car, such as a house, such as a tree. And however, when it comes to blockchain all of a sudden allows for this to happen. This allows us to be able to track maybe a tree in a particular image, and you can see that particular, you know, tree potentially getting cut down over, you know, certain location and time as well. Or it could be even a car that's driving around, or even trains, and, you know, if you're looking at it from a mining perspective. So blockchain for us opens up this incredible sort of window that we can actually look at and seeing, okay, well, there's a hell of a lot of data out there for geospatial, right? And what happens with blockchain, it allows one image to be used multiple times. So let's look at that from a drone image context or a satellite imagery context. A satellite goes over, it collects some data off a certain area, say a mine site, or it could be a city. Now, if you're the client and you've actually paid for that from, you know, some of the greatest companies in the world that acquire satellite imagery, such as Digital Globe, you're getting that content and you're using it for really one, maybe two purposes. So, for example, if you're a local government, you're using it for, say, you know, detection of, I don't know, trees along the lines, you know, lines of a street. But all of a sudden in the world of the blockchain, because it's literally every single human being potentially in the entire world, that particular tree lined street can have different sort of applications. So all of a sudden you can start looking at things such as homes. So there's real estate applications. You can look at security applications. You can look at lighting. You can look at, I don't know, a myriad of things, other types of vegetation, species analysis and so forth. So what the blockchain does, it allows you to completely open up that sort of box and have a look at so many other applications of what one type of data is capable of doing. And that sort of gives us a really, really good fulcrum, Matt, to take us to the next level, which is AI, machine learning, you know, and that, you know, building a, I guess, a neural network. And that's all about intelligent decision making and actionable intelligence. So that's where we want to get to.
What a great description there. I mean, that actually crystallized it even more in my brain. And, you know, I do content and PR marketing for technology. That was awesome. And also, too, if you don't mind, you know, I'm certainly well aware of all the different geospatial applications and how it works and the value of it. You know, like you said, actionable intelligent or actionable decision making for defense and intelligence. But if you don't mind, tell our listeners about, you know, whether it's agriculture, construction, mining, defense, why imagery and this super map of yours is so vital.
If you go back in history, we've seen the democratization of geospatial technology, right? Particularly in the last 10 years. What's something that was only available, you know, 30, 15, even, you know, 10 years ago to governments and local governments, you know, federal governments and this sort of stream of high-end industries, that's now come down to the everyday person. And as I explained, you know, it's kind of, we really want to take that to down to the normal person and what the capabilities of geospatial is to the, you know, everyday human being. They may not be interested in satellite imagery, but all of a sudden people start getting interested in the next phase, and that's drone imagery. I mean, drone imagery, it's cool, it's sexy, it's in vogue. And because it's all about resolution and in some cases real-time access, and it's quick, it's highly dynamic. It's not static like it is on Google Maps. So if you look at it from a mining company, sure, they could use the super map, the global super map, and they will. But we see a flow-on effect, a knock-on effect, if you want, to everyday users. So small businesses we see, you know, using, and we've done a lot of user cases where small businesses will probably be at least half of our user base, at least initially. And then there's capabilities for everyday Joes, you know, on the street to be able to use, you know, the super map as well, because this super map is indexed in such a way that you can not only go back in time because it's dynamic, but you could forward. We use a system called a sky bounty system. And this sky bounty system can actually allow you as an everyday individual or a mining company to put down a bounty over any location in the world. And depending what the parameters of collection are, you can let people take that image from a satellite, from an aerial sensor, or from a drone. So we see ourselves as offering, you know, the full sort of top down, you know, altitude from satellite, aerial, down to the drone in this super map. The super map is not just satellite or aerial or drones. It's every single type of imagery in between.
Yeah. And that's a great descriptor right there, because you're right. It's not just imagery. And that's pretty much where, like you said, the democratization of geospatial data has gone to. And I think the average person, they just might think, oh, well, it's just, you know, images. And then you look at the images and you make decisions. It's much deeper than that. And it's much more advanced than that. And then the outcomes, too, are, you know, real-time data for making smart decisions, whether it's for business, government, defense, right?
Definitely. Yeah, exactly. And there was that word that we come back to, or that terminology, is actionable intelligence. And that actionable intelligence, you know, is very important because of the age of AI. Now, there is so much data out there, and we're just not making enough use of it. I think I read in an industry report somewhere, and don't quote me exact number, but it was somewhere between 70 to 80% of mapping data in the world is only ever used once. And the reason why it's used once is because usually, as I mentioned before, it's only fit for purpose once. So once someone purchases it for really doing one thing with it. But if you've got that, and that's why the blockchain is such a great example for it, because it allows everybody to be able to use that exact same data. But from a licensing point of view, it's even better because, I mean, you buy satellite imagery, you don't actually ever own it. You own the license to use it. So on the blockchain, it's great because the licensing is immutable. It's completely tracked. So all of a sudden, you've not only got the data, but you've got this incredible way of tracking how the data is used. But then on the final component, you've got this awesome capability from an AI point of view to perform actionable intelligence. And that's sort of, we're looking at technologies right now, which is, like you said, mining, oil and gas, could be, you know, local government, but small business is, I think, the next level. And that's small businesses creating, letting them really identify key parameters of what they need to do. I'll give you one example. Actually, this is fresh off the block. And here in Australia right now, it's spring and we've had a fantastic winter rains as well. So everyone's lawns just gone crazy. Everything's green on the lawns. Everyone's lawns completely overgrown. So there is a few local lawn providers, lawnmower men. And these guys, instead of just driving around and seeing, oh, someone's lawn is overgrown, they can just get out of the car and put a flyer in their letterbox. What they're now working on is, and we've got a case study, is them actually obtaining aerial, satellite, and drone imagery and using just simple objects-based image analysis to determine which lawns, front lawns, are overgrown. So for their marketing, it's different. It's completely, I mean, they don't have to waste time, first of all, sending out, you know, all these flyers. But what they could do is they can go, okay, if I'm going to send flyers out, or if I'm going to send a letter, I'm only going to, you know, send it to these particular individuals. So that is something that a small business could really use to help them to take to the next level. And that's directly helping them earn more revenue.
Wow, that's awesome. I never really thought about it on that level. That makes complete sense. That's really cool, Amir. And if you don't mind, let's switch gears real quick. Soar.earth is your current web domain. You all are a .earth domain name user. And what made you choose to use a .earth domain name?
Look, the story actually is really interesting because when we first came up with the name, we said, okay, soar, you know, like eagle soars, okay, drones, satellites and so forth. But then we really quickly automatically went to soar.com. But while we were actually searching for soar.com, we thought, wait a minute, isn't earth.earth available? And in complete surprise, it was available. And from a search capability, you have no idea how many people actually put in soar space earth, and it comes up directly with a link to soar.earth.
Yeah.
So in a way for us, it was really easy marketing. And yeah, particularly because we are building a super map of the earth, you can't beat that. I mean, it's just soar earth. It's a match made in heaven as far as we're concerned.
Oh, that's awesome. Great to hear that. Yes. And you know, it's kind of funny. We're seeing more and more geospatial companies embrace the use of a .earth domain name. And I didn't really think about it with you guys, the Soar Earth. Like the branding right there is just perfect for you all. And that's awesome. So Amir, I know we talked a little bit about future stuff moving into AI, but what's your kind of long-term future vision for Soar?
Look, I think for us is really bringing it down. There's so many different types of mapping data out there. There's even weather. Weather is mapping. And we really want to be able to take different types of autonomous vehicles. They're going to be producing a lot of data sets as well, mapping data sets, which are integral to the actual autonomous vehicle and how the autonomous vehicle travels. But, you know, gets from A to B. But you've got all these data points, even from mobile phones that are constantly streaming. Where we want to go with Soar is we really want to build and a location for all that data. And the power is not just the platform of showing or visualizing that data, but it's enabling people to really get pure decisions out of that data. We do not want to be a company, you know, that is serving desktop GIS, okay, you know, where the experts lie. We see ourselves at being purely on the consumer side. But when I say consumer side, that's everything that the consumer entails. And that for us includes small businesses as well. I think also something which is really, really exciting for us personally is where the blockchain technology is going. And I don't want to confuse too many people, but you can't put massive amounts of data onto the blockchain because it will slow the whole thing down. And where we are looking at right now, working with industry partners such as Alibaba Cloud. And Alibaba Cloud is a very, very innovative company. And they're looking at solutions on building off-chain solutions that work with on-chain blockchain situations. So in many instances, smart contracts, they are all on the blockchain. But because you can't put the vast amounts of satellite imagery or drone imagery onto the blockchain, you need to have these, inverted commas, handshakes that connect the off-chain to the on-chain. And I think that's going to be really, really big, you know, going forward in the next couple of years for us, and where supercomputers and big data analytics come into it. I think it's just going to really resonate and with everyday individuals. And then from there, who knows what's possible for us.
That's awesome. Exciting stuff. Really exciting stuff. And Amir, before we sign off today, is there anything else to add? Anything we may have missed?
I'd like to say, first of all, thank you so much. I'm humbled to be, you know, to have this interview done. But I think also, I think there's people out there that have got so many tremendous ideas when it comes to geospatial, particularly its applications toward the masses. And I think that it's really good if, you know, those voices can be heard at a greater sort of global level, like what you're doing for us is really great. And I really hope that as a broader community, they, you know, get behind projects such as ours and help us take us to the next level of geospatial. Exciting times ahead.
Very exciting times. And what a perfect way to end this interview. You all just heard an exclusive Voices.Earth podcast interview with Amir Farhan, CEO of SOAR, which is an organization that is creating the world's first fully democratized global super map using drone content. And Amir, thank you so much for your time today.
My pleasure. Thank you so much, Matt.
Thank you for listening to this segment. .Earth is a real live internet domain that anyone can use. Listeners can go to our Voices.Earth site to find out what others are doing with their unique .Earth domains. Through Voices.Earth, you can also secure your own .Earth domain name through all major registrars.